Why do we sing songs? Why do we write songs that are literally exclusive to our faith? Why do we hear people give a word of praise out loud? Why do we hear somebody literally say something in public out loud that sounds a whole lot like the voice of God? My father-in-law does it every now and then. He will start to shout out and start to share a word that comes from the Lord that he felt like God put on his heart. And it's not my father-in-law telling us what to do. It's the Lord actually speaking encouragement into our life. Every single time he does it, people start weeping in here. There's something about the presence of God. There's something about his power when we actually pay attention and are aware of it. But why do we kneel? Why do we open our hands? Why would we shout out? Why would we cry? Why would we play an instrument? Why would we sing songs? The answers to these are really important to move us beyond just coming and actually taking in some sort of an activity or an event, because it's not an activity or an event. It's a place in which we gather as an overflow of our own heart to bring the power and the presence of God alive in this place, that anybody who might be seeking that, they might be seeking healing, they might be seeking hope, just the worship and the power of that worship alone can actually call down the presence of heaven and his healing and actually create some hope in somebody else's life. So we come to worship, as I said last week, to break through, not just for ourselves. This is not an event where we get something from it, although we always leave with something from it. But we come with the attitude and the posture and the desire to say, I'm going to worship my Heavenly Father on behalf of somebody who might need him. It's a sacrifice of praise. But here's why we do it. Because we believe that we can move the heart of God. We can move God to move. And here's what happens with that. God always invites us into the process of his presence. He always invites us in to experience it. He doesn't say, I'm just going to give you worship. He says, I want you to worship so that you can feel my worship, so you can feel my presence. I want you to worship me so that you can feel the healing and see the healing. I want you to worship me so that you will actually see the excitement and the joy that's in the room. So I'm going to invite this morning the worship team, because it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, that all these people who come here weekly to play a song, to sing a song, to shout out, to weep, to cry, to laugh, at times to kneel, that these are the people that might have something to say, don't you think, about why music, why worship is so powerful and what it does when we engage it together. Okay, so I'm going to invite them. They're going to come up. They're going to sit on these stools. And so this morning is all about, not about an interview. So I want us to understand this. We are not interviewing our worship team. Here's what my hopes are for this morning. My hopes are that they will discuss the power and the presence of God in worship through music and gathering. And they will talk about it as if we are just in the room as a fly on the wall. Like they're sitting around a coffee table. They're sitting having dinner. They're just talking to one another, and they're talking about why they do what they do. We want to hear their heart. I want to hear their heart. So it's less of an interview and more of a discussion panel. This is an opportunity for them to explain to us why music is so powerful. But as we begin, I want to read the anchor passage that I want us to kind of go to over and over and over. If anything, we're going to go to this passage as if to break this passage down every week for like 7 weeks. I almost want you to think about memorizing it. But listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 13, 15, and 16. This is what I spoke on last week, so if you didn't get the message, go listen to it. I think God really did a powerful word through the service last week. But it says, therefore, let us offer through Jesus. Everybody say through Jesus. Through Jesus. So that's where it has to start. If it's not through Jesus, then it's just singing. Has to be through his work, has to be through his sacrifice, has to be through his death. And it says, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice, not just his sacrifice. Now we're going to continue the sacrifice that he gave us, and we're actually going to continue the sacrifice through praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name, and don't forget to do good, to share with those in need. So amazing how worship in singing is about giving to somebody who is in need. That's the power of this, really powerful. And so then it goes on. These are the sacrifices that please God. Two things. That we proclaim his name on behalf of somebody hearing that. That's why we worship. Now, John chapter 4, 23 and 24, just so you know, like Jesus has some powerful words to talk about worship. And in John chapter 4, John literally quotes Jesus and what he says in this. He says, but the time is coming, which is today, just so you know. It is now. Indeed, it's here now. That's what he's saying, and he's saying it even to today, while we're here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, spirit and truth. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. In spirit and truth. I love that passage. So this morning, as we begin, I'm going to ask them a question, and I told them at the back, I said, if I ask you one question and you talk the rest of the morning, that would be the best case scenario. I would absolutely love that because I just want to hear their heart. So first question is this, and I prompted them with these questions, but if this is the only one I ask you, then good. But before we begin, we got Jake Stuke. Or Jacob Douglas Stuke. We have Kaylin Knuckles, who is a senior at Arvada West High School. Just so you know, I don't point that out for any other reason than this. If you have the gift, we don't care how old you are. We're going to use it, and we're going to raise it up. And Kaylin, if you would have seen him in worship 2 years ago as a sophomore, he was leading worship in here and being a part of it. God has done a tremendous work in his leadership. He has a heart that comes out of his vocal cords. It's really powerful, and it's so fun to watch. And then we have Lillian Hinshaw. Isn't she beautiful? That's because she's my daughter, and she looks a lot like her mom. And she graduated from North Park University and just has a true heart for worship and always has since she was little, and hopefully she'll be able to tell her story. Amanda Cataldo here, who has been here for how long? I didn't prompt you with that question. You didn't even have that answer, did you? That's right. Don't confuse the last names. Victor O'Connor, right? And Victor's been playing. How long you been at Neighborhood?
9 years.
This guy can play the guitar. My son this morning, just as he was playing, he walks out. I'm standing by the back door. He walks by. He looks at me. He goes, Victor. And then he just walks out, which I thought was so cool. It's so powerful. And then we have Micah Edwards. Micah and Victor are very, very good friends. Have been friends since high school. Micah.
I've been asked multiple times if they're brothers, and they are not.
They are
physical
brothers. They're brothers from another mother. But Micah as well, like, did you hear them harmonizing this morning? One plays and the other one knows exactly what the other one's doing, and they just play off of each other, and it's really cool how they do that in community together. Just these two alone are just gifts to us as a church, absolute gifts to us as a church. And Lacey, Micah's wife, is sitting here going, yeah, he's really good looking when he plays. So we begin. Let me ask the first question. Here's the first question. When did music become a vital part of your life, and why? And so they have two microphones that they're going to have to pass like a track star as a baton back and forth.
Yeah, I'll start it. Gosh, you guys are the worst. So I would say for me, music started really when my parents didn't want to, they wanted me to get money for scholarship, basically, so they put me in music lessons. So so that's when that started.
So greed? So, greed started yeah, it. Okay, yeah. Good.
But then out of that, you know, I took music lessons, both piano and voice, since I was, like, in kindergarten. And then I joined choir at A West, and Jake had the faith in me also to start worship, like, worship services when I was in, like, eighth grade even.
Wow.
So, yeah, I've been singing on this stage or in a circle since eighth grade. It's been, like you said, it's been a vital part of my life. And yeah, that's my story. Yeah.
My journey of playing guitar and being a musician began at Crossroads Church, which was down Kipling, off I-70 in Kipling, big church at the time. That was many years ago, but I was surrounded by guitarists at Crossroads, so you know, I'd pick one of their guitars up, they'd show me a few things, and I fell in love with it. And then from there, I just continued music, exploring music, became a music teacher, now it's my life.
How long, so learning to play guitar, how much time did you invest in it early on? I'm just curious.
Well, early on, I had a fervor for it, so it was easy. I would say hours, and I was studying music in college when I got out of my senior year, so it was hours writing songs. It took hours. So it was a lot of time invested, awesome. A lot of time, and continues to be.
Anybody else?
I think I can tell the story for Jake and I because it's like pretty intertwined. So I think it was about 20 years ago, Jake's like, I'm going to learn to play the guitar. And so he like starts trying and he's like, I can't like strum and sing at the same time, but like you kind of have to sing to like get the rhythm and stuff. So he's like, will you just like sing with me while I try to like learn how to strum? And I mean, he was not like a natural at the time, although he's gotten real good now. He was like, and so I would just like, I'm not exaggerating, but so
he
I would just
bad.
Sing along with him.
He was bad.
Yeah, I would sing along with him and like long pause while he would change chords and then sing the next line, then long pause. And then he got better and he could like sing and play at the same time. So I kind of was like, okay, I'll just like sing with you. And then it was like, oh, I should add piano to this. And I still don't fully understand why, but the Lord just kept giving us opportunities to like lead places. And they just would like pop up and we've like done a lot of stuff together, but then separately as well. And each person that we have either led with or just been a part of worship with, I feel like has really rubbed off and taught us something. And not just like mentors for us, like people who were above us or whatever, but like people like Kaylin and Lillian and Lauren and just everybody that I feel like we've led worship with along the way has kind of helped form us into kind of what it is today, whatever that is.
Well, it was crazy because that was never my intention for learning guitar. I met Donnie a long time ago, and at Four Seas, he was my youth pastor, and he brought me into youth ministry. And we had a crazy good worship band, and I was just like blown away. I just loved the way the music would just speak to my heart, and I just wanted to go sing that in my basement by myself, you know. And so I was like, my two best friends bought me a guitar, and for Christmas, and it just blew me away. It was just, and so the worship pastor there every Sunday would just hand me his music. I wasn't going out and learning some cool licks and stuff. I just wanted to play guitar for myself, not for anyone else. It was never supposed to be for other people to ever hear my voice or my guitar, you know, because I wasn't good at any of that. But I just wanted that sheet music so I could go teach myself guitar and sing these praises in my basement. It was never supposed to be for anyone else to hear, but somehow people would be like, hey, you can play guitar, right? Can you come lead worship? It's like, no, that's not for you to see. Mm-hmm. That's just for me and him.
But, and then you'd be okay. Like, can my sister come too?
Yeah, can she come? I'm going to throw her under the bus. And that's how that turned out for us.
Anybody else?
Anybody else?
I don't really remember a time in my life when music was not prevalent, but I was thinking if I could pinpoint one specific time or day. It was the Christmas that my brother was 11 years old and got a guitar. So it's this like sibling thing, but Elliot learned how to play guitar and has literally never stopped playing it since he got his guitar. And I just remember like thinking how cool it was that my brother, who was only 11 at the time, could fill our house with music that he was making. And I just wanted to do it all the time with him. So music has just been in my family as long as I can remember.
If you've heard my son Elliot play and lead worship, my guess is you would be as inspired as I always have been by his gift. But I just want to remind you that I'm the one who taught him. I gave him three chords. It's called the Trinity of Chords, G, C, and D. You can play just about any worship song out there, at least at the time, Chris Tomlin, right? And you can play those and play just about anything, you know? And so I'm responsible for his gift, and I just want you to know that.
So my musical endeavors began, I was probably in second grade. My dad is a singer, songwriter, guitar player. He's written his own songs throughout the years. He's played in groups. He's done worship for a number of years. In fact, he was playing at Crossroads probably around the same time that you went there. So I was always surrounded by music with him. And when I was probably in second grade, I picked up the piano for a short while and then got to fifth grade, did a little trumpet, band, all that kind of fun stuff. And then when I was in ninth grade is when I picked up the guitar. And that's when my passion for music really settled in, started writing songs, started my first, you know, high school rock band and that kind of thing. And that was fun. And then when high school was over, decided to go to college for music. And that's when it really settled in for me that I really love doing this and this is what I want to do.
So what's really cool about hearing all those stories is the fact that this isn't something they decided to do. It was as if it was something that was put inside of them to do. Every one of them. It wasn't a decision as much as it was a calling, really, in a lot of ways. And music can be. And I think a lot of musicians would say that. They would say, I can't help myself. Like, I can't not do this. All of them kind of expressed that idea. Mike, yeah. Yeah, and what's powerful about that, when it comes to like this idea of the calling, I don't think specific people are called. I think we're all called. I think we're all called to do something for the kingdom of God. I think we're all called in some way, shape, or form to use our gifts and talents as a way of actually drawing people into Christ. That's called the priesthood of all believers. So theologically, that lines up with that. That would say that every person in here is a pastor by their giftedness. You're responsible to actually use that gift as a way of leading people, whether it's in worship, whether it's in encouragement, whether it's in healing, whether it's in prayer. There's all kinds of things. And so one of the things Pastor John has said for years is that it like nags you. You can't stop thinking about it. This is what you just heard.
And I know Jake's in my heart as leaders is never ever to like have you walk away and be like, boy, they're amazing. Like we don't want people to think about us, but our heart is to cultivate leaders, to seek out that calling in Kaylin, for instance, and to help people realize their gifts and realize who they could be for Christ and what they could be. And that's a lot more important to me than like being a piano player that is proficient or whatever. We want to be multiplying. We want to have the people that come through our band be so much better than we could dream of, and just like Shane, go off and do this in other places, bigger and better than we could ever do it. And that's our heart, is to move people through that instead of like trying to like stack the best band that we can stack, yeah. You know?
Yeah, so the reality of that is that you could have the best musician in the world come up and play on our stage and not be able to lead people in worship. So I want to connect the dots for just a second by actually asking them this question. When did music and your gift suddenly become intertwined with worship in a way that you couldn't separate them? I don't know, maybe you could separate them, but when did those two things actually connect? Was it an experience? Was it a story? Was it a worship service? Was it, you know, like Victor, you talk about somebody, you know, these guys who influenced you at Crossroads. My guess is it had to go beyond just their giftedness and their talent. Maybe talk about that for a second. Where did it become intertwined so much so that you couldn't separate them?
For me, it was just when I was given a chance. So Jimmy Humphreys, who was at Crossroads, amazing guy, and that's where I kind of started to begin to explore how to worship, because you kind of have to be taught at a certain age. And then when he left, there was a youth pastor that took over. His name was Russ Falacci, and I actually knew him. And he asked me to lead worship one Sunday, and I've kind of blocked it out of my head because it was so horrible in my eyes. But it was that opportunity that it made me realize that maybe I can do this. Maybe this is something that I can go forward with. And through the years, I ebbed and flowed through many different roles within worship teams, and I've decided over the years that I prefer to express myself through melody rather than through singing. But for me, it was that I was given a chance. Mm. Somebody believed in me enough, or was inspired enough to say, "Hey, why don't you play a song?" It scared the daylights out of me, but that's that initial.
And not just sing a song like at an event, but sing right. A song for worship, which yeah. Changed the game, right?
Changed it. Yeah.
Micah.
For me, I think it was actually kind of thrown on me, because I started playing guitar ninth grade, and even though my dad was a musician, I was primarily self-taught. He would show me things here and there, show me a few chords and stuff like that, and my brother and a few others who played guitar would show me a few things, but I was primarily self-taught and just kind of learning what seemed fun to learn at the time. And it was actually on a mission trip. I had my guitar and I was playing, and there was an opportunity for me, and there was another guitar player there with me to play. And I knew a few chords, but I had never read chord charts with lyrics and all that kind of stuff before. So that was new to me, and I was kind of like, well, what's the rhythm? What's the strumming pattern? What do I do with this? What do I do? I see that's the G chord. I can play a G chord, but I don't know how to do this. But I decided to just go for it anyway, it went okay, and it kind of prompted me to want to learn more how to do it and dive more into it. So I guess to answer the question, I was kind of thrown into it.
Wow. Anybody else want to speak to that?
For me, I would say my love for music and my love for Jesus became synonymous actually in this room as a little girl. Me and my two best friends, Betty and Sarah, would sit in the front row during worship, and we would like throw our hands in there. And I remember someone saying, and I don't even remember who it was, and I don't think they meant this in like a patronizing way, but they said, "I hope you know what it means when you do that." And I was like five, so I was like, "I don't." This is really fun. Everybody else is doing it. But they put that seed in me, that thought in me at the age of five of, and I don't just raise my hand, this is not a concert. I'm not in dance class, which were all things that I loved. I loved music, and I loved dancing, and I loved theater. But being in this space and raising my hands and feeling that merge of, like, I'm outpouring my love to Jesus, and, like, somebody making sure that I knew what that meant when I was a little girl changed my life.
So I heard this phrase once. I was actually watching kind of a panel like this where there was, we went to the Red Rocks Young Adults group. I went with Brian Gager, who's sitting over there. And they did a panel similar to this. And one of the girls there, and this phrase kind of stuck with me, but she said, presence over performance. And so every time, like on a Sunday with my voice might not be feeling so hot or anything like that, I just say presence over performance, because this is not a performance at all. Because I don't know if you guys know, but I'm at A West, and we do 4 concerts a year, and I do the musicals there as well. So I'm pretty used to performing in front of a crowd of 500 people. That, but it really is a performance, and I'm there to entertain people. And even though I love doing that, and I get chills from the music that I sing there, like something like the thing that happened last week, I've never had that happen before in just a regular, like, hey, I'm performing music. That's something where the Holy Spirit literally came through us and all of us in the entire body, and it elevated that music to something that was bigger than music. It's really just knowing the purpose of worship music, that we're literally just giving our lives in that moment to God. I think that's the difference for me.
Yeah, I feel like every time that we're up here, we have that choice, and the Lord gives each of us that choice. Like, you can perform right now, or you can just get lost in my presence, and you can just worship me. And if we choose performance, it's kind of like when Jesus talks about giving, where he's like, you know, just give in secret. If you give in public and you get praise from men, that's your reward. Like, you already have your reward. And for us, like, if we choose, like, the performance route, like, that's what it is. Like, it stops there. Like, it stops with me and how small I am. And it stops at all of my limits. But if we choose instead to worship and to enter into that and, like, just kind of let ourselves go and, like, not worry if our voices are going to crack or if we're going to sing the right thing or play the right notes. Like, we just let it go because it's worship. The Lord is like, okay, come and enter into the Master's happiness. Like, our potential becomes the Lord's potential. And so I think that, yeah, we all have that choice. And I think even minute by minute during worship, sometimes we're having to make that choice that, like, no, like, I'm not going to perform and be small right now. Like, I'm going to be caught up in the presence and be big right now and be part of something big. I think that, like, that doesn't just go for us. Like, that goes for you guys too. Do you know what I mean? Like, in your own heart, like, where you are, like what do you want to be a part of? Like, do you want to be a part of something big, or, like, do you want to be limited by what you can offer, you know?
Yeah, I think what they're actually saying, in a lot of ways, in a very simple way, kind of this thought came out years ago by Matt Redman. You probably may have heard, if you've been in church for a long time, you might have heard the song Coming Back to the Heart of Worship. And that whole song was written because a church actually that he was leading, he felt like was not singing songs as worship, but they were just enjoying the songs, and they were struggling to actually engage in worship. And so they quit leading worship. There was no music. And he said, we're not going to lead any music until you actually come, until the church comes and becomes worshipers first. And so he wrote a book on that. And one of his real anchoring points of that book was that he believes that we get it caught up that they're worship leaders, and the reality is they're just lead worshipers. Like, there is nothing more inspiring than watching somebody fully engaged in the Holy Spirit worshiping. Not because of the song, but because their body, their mannerisms, their heart, their everything is elevated in a direct response to God's presence. And when you see him doing this, what I said last week, my father had told me a long time ago when Rhonda and I were dating, that it was this idea that, hey, if you really want to be attractive to her, she loves Jesus. Love Jesus. If you love Jesus, she's going to love you because she wants somebody to love Jesus with. It's called community. So the reality is the same for us too. Like, there's nothing more powerful than watching these people become lead worshipers. So there's a reason we put them in a circle, because we wanted them to lead worship by their worship, not because they're gifted. And both of those are true. They are gifted. So they kind of jumped ahead of the questions here, and the question was, how do you balance the tension between performance and worship? Kalen doesn't play by the rules, obviously. He wasn't letting me leave, right? You know, but yeah, there's a tension there that is palpable all the time when you actually sing, right? Anybody else want to speak into that? The tension between performance and worship.
I don't know if I have anything particularly new to add, but I just always think of balance, because as a musician, I have sort of taught myself my whole life to have a high standard for the music, and I think that's important. You know, having the music sound good is important, and rehearsing is important, but finding that balance of, okay, I can do what I've always taught myself to do and do my best to make the music sound good, but also completely throwing myself into God and his presence and trying to immerse myself in that. And that balance can be difficult, because sometimes I find myself focusing a lot on the notes and what can I do next and what can I do to contribute to it sounding good. And I think we're all victim of that from time to time. So finding that balance and trying to immerse yourself in the purity of it, of really truly giving your heart to God in the moment and being in his presence, it's difficult. It's something that you always have to work at.
Yeah, what's interesting is you both teach music. So your students learn music so they can get a good grade. You want them to be excellent at playing an instrument so that they can get a good grade and they're educated and all that good stuff, right? This was part of my question too, was why do you work so hard at your craft? What is the outflow? What's the goal of that? Because what you just said is there's an excellence, which we've talked about in our church completely. Like, we want to do everything with excellence because that's our worship. But why? Why do you spend so much time practicing? These two guys play like weekly together. Today they were here. Everybody was here by 7:30, 8 o'clock, and practicing all the way till 10:07 because I looked at the clock, right? Like, you are in it. Why is that so important that you do it with excellence and not just get up here and sing? Because you could. I think you guys could. But why is it so important for you to sing with excellence?
I think the reason that's important is because I believe that God created music as a way to express yourself and to express your emotions. And so as a musician, you try to be able to do that effectively, to communicate what you have here out there for everybody else to partake in. And so to be able to do that, we want to play well so that we can evoke those emotions, and so that not only we can experience those, but other people can experience those as well. And that's why the balance is so difficult, because sometimes we feel like we express those emotions better and people experience those better when we play better.
Wow.
So that can be tricky, going back to that balance part of it.
There was a point last week, I forget which song it was, but
Pour Me
there
Out.
Was a point, it might have been, so there was a point where my heart started beating out of my chest.
I saw it. It was like on the floor, just going.
I don't know. I think what happened was I became so overwhelmed. I think it was partially, I don't know what I'm playing next. And also, my hand still moving to play something. It was that practice and that years on the instrument became kind of just I went on autopilot because I was so overwhelmed by what I mean. The singing from you guys became louder than the instruments.
Wow.
And I was so overwhelmed, and I got lost in it. And then once I finally, once my heart calmed down and once I kind of normalized again, I didn't know what to think. It was almost baffling to me, and I'm still kind of going through it in my head and what happened. I think it was the Holy Spirit just completely overwhelmed me.
And Donnie talked about how you're all worship leaders, whether you're engaged or not, that people, that's the crazy thing about being in a circle is everyone can see you. And so last week when that was just so overwhelming, I was just like, I opened my eyes and I looked and my daughter Hannah, who is one, is back where Chris is standing and she sees all of you. And so she goes. You're leading my daughter.
It was a Lillian moment for Hannah. Same thing happened to her at 5 here. That many years later, and Hannah happens to her. It's powerful.
And Evelyn came up to me afterwards and said, "Dang it." She said, "Dad, I felt like crying." She didn't, but she said, "I felt like crying."
Katie Sleep said the same thing. She had her little girl over there, and her mom kept poking her on the side. She kept poking her. And Katie's like, "Stop bugging me. I'm worshiping, you know." And she's like in worship. And then she said, I looked down at her, and Ellie Kate looked at her, and she said, "Mommy, I just feel like dancing. I can't help myself." And she said, "Then go dance." And so she starts dancing. And it was just so powerful. Yeah, go ahead.
So talking about this performance, yeah, we want to have a certain level of excellence, because if we do hit a wrong chord, it can stop what you're going through, because you go, "Oh, what was that?" You know, instead of you focusing as well as all of us, you know. But it's very, you can see it on people's faces when it's like our voices cracking, they go, "Ooh." It's like, okay, that if we minimize the distractions, you have a better experience as well. So do we. But for I wanted to share this story, because that's, for me, a lot of worship is just storytelling. And these songs normally are telling stories, whether it's an old song that David wrote or a new song that someone wrote because of their pain and suffering, but who Jesus is in their life. And so I spend a lot of time in my back room singing these songs just by myself, and my kids come in. And 2 weeks ago, I had... we introduced a song, and I had Donnie introduce it to you. He read the words before we sang it to you, because I didn't think I could, because I had learned the song the night before. I already had songs picked out for Sunday service, but my mom has been sick for about a year, and we can't figure out what's wrong with her. And so the doctors went through this long process, and they ruled out everything, and so they go, "We need to get an MRI on your brain, because what else could it be other than a tumor?" So we got the MRI, and there's no tumor, which is awesome. We are so excited. We've been praying for that. But at the same time, she's still not doing good. And so it was her birthday, and we were celebrating her birthday that Saturday night. And so all of our whole family, and even my little children, 6-year-old, 4-year-old, are praying over her. We were like, "Can we just pray for you?" So we prayed over her, and it's her, if you don't know her, she's like, "Well, it's my turn to pray, and it's going to be an hour long." So she starts to pray, but she's just saying how amazing this is, that she doesn't have a tumor, and my life is in your hands, whatever your will. I'm still going to praise you. I'm still going to lift up your name. I don't understand what's happening to me right now, but I'm still going to sing. I'm still going to praise. And that was her prayer. And so that night, I was already had the songs picked out, but I started to sing the song I had heard on the radio, and it just came to me. It's like, wonder where that came from. And would you, Alex, would you pull up the words to this song? It's called Yes, I Will, but it says, I count on one thing. Same God that never fails will not fail me now. He won't fail me now. Would you pull those up? In the waiting, this same God that is never late is working all things out. He's working all things out. So yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. That's really hard to do. All my days, yes, I will. And the bridge of the song says, is, I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all names that nothing can stand against, even when it doesn't make sense. And so I'm sitting there going, yeah, this is her prayer that she just did, and I'm weeping my eyes out, and I go, how do I present that to you? Because it's breaking me apart. So I had Donnie read that, but I'm telling this story, but I go, I can't tell you, I can't even sing this song if I even think about my mom, because that is her cry, and she is living this song. And so many times, that's us on Sunday, we don't know how to portray that to you, that it's like, these songs are speaking our heart, because we love Jesus, and sometimes I don't understand, but I'm going to choose to praise and glorify his name with you, because you have held me up in my hard times as well.
So it does come out. So I love what you said. Worship involves story. It was another question that I had for you. Is like, where in your life? You've got just a couple minutes left before I want them to respond. I want us to worship together again. But where was there a story in your life, maybe a specific instance, in which you were engaged in worship? And we heard two of them. We heard Jake and Victor both experience basically last week was powerful, really powerful. Where in your life did you experience something where you were engaged in worship? It might have been alone. It might have been in a service. It might have been your car. It might have been in the shower. I don't know where it was. But you were so immersed in it that you felt the power and the presence of God that there was no separation between that. Like, it was literally, he was right there. Anybody? Be brief so we can get a couple stories out.
Mine is, it's like basically my testimony. When I was 11, I went to a service at Faith over there, and man, it just, they were singing, and everybody was raising their hands, and I felt like all the little kids last week where it was like, I feel this, like, I get it, and it was like, that night was the night that I was like, this is real, there's something to this, and I moved from like, Jesus is my Savior, to I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life, and I've never been the same, like, I can always go back to that night as the defining moment of my life. And it was in the worship, it was in the music, that it was like the Holy Spirit just moved me to that place, like, let me be your Lord. And that's why I sing now, you know?
Okay, I can go. after high school, for a number of reasons, I had decided that I didn't want to sing anymore. and I think I was so confused, and so I was really struggling with why I was doing it and who I was doing it for, to the point where I was like, well, I'm just going to shut my mouth. And so I got to college and had a lot of opportunities to be on worship teams, and I didn't take any of them ever, like all 4 years of college. And so I stopped singing. I didn't stop worshiping, but I stopped leading worship. I stopped singing. I stopped volunteering. I stopped putting myself in that space. And then which I thought would be healing, but it kind of built up some bitterness in me, and I got more resentful and more confused. And when I was in Peru, and I've told the story about this little girl, Naomi, so many times, but she was the one that would cry and cry and cry, like, the whole night long, and I would have to rock her. And I would pray all the time over all of the kids, and I still pray it over my kids, my students now, but I always pray, like, God, you do something. Like, I catch myself in that prayer all the time of, like, okay, you do it, because I can't do it. Like, I'm recognizing my human limits right now. Like, you give her peace. You get her to stop crying. You come in and fill that void. And I heard so clearly one night Jesus speaking to me and said, I can, but I can't sing over her right now. You can. And I was like, oh, geez.
He always invites us in the process. Somebody said that last week. Your dad.
And so I began singing over her, and it was the first time again in a few years that I had opened my mouth to worship like with another person, not just in my car, not just at church by myself, but that I had opened my mouth to lead her to a place of peace, to lead her to a place of sleeping, or whatever it may be. And it had to start that small for me, but that was the moment where Jesus was like, it is me, I am doing it. You have to open your mouth. You can't keep shutting your mouth. You can't keep closing me off, because when you close your mouth, you're stifling what I have to say. You're stifling what I can do. And so it was that. It was, I would sing over her, and then I would sing over another baby. And then when I came home, I would start doing it like I would rock Hannah, and I would sing over her. And I would rock Sawyer, and I would sing over him and my niece and nephew. And it was the safest place that I could get myself back to up here.
Wow. Micah, Kaylin, you guys got anything you want to share specifically? And in the while they're maybe thinking about this, would somebody go get our kiddos? I told them to go get them, and I want them to be a part of this.
And I just want to say something about last week. We didn't do anything different, but you guys did. And you guys are the difference. Like, we're not up here so that we can worship, but we can feel the difference between practice and when you guys are here. When you guys are worshiping, like, the worship that you give is equal to the worship that we're giving. Do you know what I mean? Like, just because I have chords in front of me, like, it's the same. Like, you guys were the difference last week. Like, you guys opened your hearts up to the presence of the Lord, and he responded. And so, like, don't look to us to, like, do that this week or next week or whatever, because we're kind of just doing what we're doing. You bring your heart, like, you open it up for, like Donnie said, for your neighbor, for your brother. Like, this is our family, and this is our community, and this is what we do together.
And when I preach, you preach back at me. I've said that too. It's the same exact thing. When a pastor is speaking, it's important you respond, because you preach, you're a part of the sermon. Either of you guys?
Yeah, I've had many times where worship has moved me in an overwhelming fashion. Sometimes that's in the midst of worship, being part of the congregation. Sometimes that's in the midst of worship, being on the worship team. I feel like more often than not, it's when I'm alone. Just this week, a few times, I was listening to the Miracles song a couple times on the way to work, and I don't get emotional very, very often, but I feel like that's happened more often with music and with worship specifically than some other things. And a couple times just this week, driving to work, listening to that song, it moved me in ways that I did not anticipate. And it wasn't, you know, it's when you can really focus on the song and focus on the Lord, and sometimes focus on the text, the lyrics, whatever it may be. But when you can actually really immerse yourself in it, a lot of times it will move you in unexpected ways. So, and a lot of times that's when I've been alone.
Anything?
Gotta stop calling me out like that. You know, I have something to say. So I would say, and I'll try to keep this quick, but I would say in general, I'm like, the way my brain works is like, I'm generally a very like, analytical person, like pretty cerebral, and like same with Micah, it's hard for me to always just like let my emotions out, but like with faith and with worship, it's like the one thing that I don't have to force myself to get to that place where I can be emotional and be vulnerable. And it's the one thing where, like, if I were to write like an essay or something, like, I need to have a claim and I need to support it with evidence. Here I have my faith, and the evidence of that faith is that I feel the presence of God. Wow. While I'm worshiping. So, like, that's kind of how I think about it, and that's usually the one thing that keeps me going and keeps me believing. So,
yeah. Wow. Yeah. Amazing. I'm so proud of this team.
I have one thing to add.
Go ahead.
So, sometimes perspective helps me, just seeing things from a different viewpoint, and we're all children of God. So, I try to put myself in the perspective of, what if my child one day wanted to sing me a song?
Yeah.
From their heart. So it helps me to get into that perspective of God is listening. He's looking down on us and not thinking he's with us, and he's listening to the songs we sing. Just as if our child wanted to sing us a song, we would be all ears.
I'm going to ask you guys to lead us in a couple songs as we close out. You know what's amazing about this, though, is the fact that every week you hear them lead. You don't always get to hear what's behind their leading. You don't get to hear their heart. You get to see their gift. You get to see their outflow of practice and work and literally perfection and excellence. There are very few people in this church that give more time in serving this church than this worship team does. Like, they're practicing throughout the week. They have time at home. But they get here 7 o'clock in the morning. They're here until noon. And their heart is centered around every week about us experiencing the very power and the presence of God in community. And they give their gift so that you will. We are responsible to actually take that gift and give it back to the Father and present it to him and say thank you for that gift. So this morning, as we finish out this morning, as they worship, spend some time here just as we close out. Somebody last week told me, they said, hey, I've never felt the presence of God the way you're talking about. But suddenly I got in my car and my son sat there next to me and said, Dad, why don't you ever lift your hands? Why don't you ever express yourself like everybody else does? And this guy looked at me and he said, just want you to know, you basically started a debate between me and my son for 3 hours. And I said, I didn't start the debate, God did. And he said, I don't know how to feel. And I said, maybe we've got to stop expecting the music to make us feel. And maybe we have to do what Jake said about choosing to put ourselves in a position and a posture by which we can receive what God wants us to feel. Sometimes I think we become hands in pockets worshiper, and I'm not picking on you if that's you, but I'm saying maybe possibly God wants you to move beyond that. Maybe God wants you to actually give him a sacrifice and praise and say, you know what, it seems foolish for me to open my hands, but maybe in this moment God will do something and suddenly this posture will make sense of what I've never felt. So try him out. I can confidently say every time I've ever told somebody to try Jesus out or try the presence of God out, to put yourself in a position to be vulnerable to his presence, you're never disappointed. I've never had anybody disappointed with the presence of God. So come out of here this morning. Start here right now as we close out. Would you just stand with me? Would you begin to posture yourself in some physical way, shape, or form? And that might be just literally putting your chin up. It might be your hands out. Maybe God wants you to kneel beside you at the here or in the corner. Maybe God wants you to raise your hands. Maybe God wants you to lift a shout of praise. Maybe God wants you to respond in some way that will help you feel the power in the presence of God, not in an emotional way, because that is, but beyond that, in an emotional, transcendent way this morning.
Same God who never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. same God who never late is working all things out, working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. I count on one thing. Same God who never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. Same God who's never late is working all things out, working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh yes, I will. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I will. I choose to to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against. I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against. I choose to praise, glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Oh yes, I will.
So good, God, you're so good, God, you're so good, you're so good to me. Amazing love.
soul undeserving. God, you're so
rest, hold on, stay there. you, Father, for your gift. The gift of worship that you led through your son Jesus by dying on the cross, that was a sacrifice that was immeasurable, hard for us to fathom, but it is a sacrifice that you choose to ask us to engage in and to continue. I thank you for the little shout of praise at the very end by this little girl, that it represents this Hebrew word, tila, that actually says that we are to give shouts of praise. Shouts of praise in the middle of worship to give glory to our Father. And so, Father, we praise you this morning. We give you that praise. We give it right back to you as a sacrifice of our own life to you. May we always see that it's not about the music, but it is about you. And that music and prayer and preaching and solitude and all these things are vehicles to draw us into your presence. We love you today. We thank you. Thank you for the tin shed that's happening right now as people are coming in to get some much needed resources for a week of Thanksgiving. And I pray that as we continue our worship into that room, that we would encourage people that need that. As we break bread downstairs together for those who will stay, I pray that you would bless our time together and our fellowship. But we give a shout of praise to you this morning, and all God's people said, amen. Have an awesome week. Happy Thanksgiving. See you next Sunday.